Welcome, everybody, to a special edition of Inside College Soccer. This one's based on a post that I made a few days ago about the college ID camp process. And I thought I'd go over each of the points that I made so I could explain a little more in detail why I said what I said. So the first thing is leave your phone in the car. It's really important that you not be distracted by it. There's nothing that's a bigger turnoff for coaches than a kid who's on their phone before the event, at every break, after the event, even taking pictures, all of that stuff. If you want to get a picture of you and the coaches after the event, ask your mom to do it, something like that. You're going to need somebody to take it anyway. So leave your phone in the car. That way it won't distract you. The second thing is super simple, and some of you out there need to be taught this. Shake hands. There's a couple ways to shake hands, but the first way is got to square up to the person and look them in the eye. If you want to be extra warm, the two-handed handshake is always nice. Shake their hand. You gently grasp their wrist and you give them a nice handshake. But shaking your hand and introducing yourself to the coaching staff will immediately make you stand out from all of the ones that don't. When I've run ID camps, when I've been at them, there are players who just want to hide. They don't want to stand out. They're afraid of what other players will think of them. And you're not there to impress other players. You're there to impress experienced adult coaches. And one of the ways to do that is by introducing yourself to them and shaking your hand. If you've got something, especially at school ID camps, do your homework and your research beforehand. You might find out that you've got something in common with one of the coaches on staff. Maybe your grandmother was born and raised in the town where they coached for 10 years, right? That's a good introduction. Maybe you visited that town. Maybe where that coach played college soccer is somewhere that you're familiar with. So if you've got some facts and some background, again, you're going to stand out to that coach and you can have a short conversation. You want them to, when the play starts, to notice you, to pay attention to you for that camp. And one of the ways to do it is to make them say at the beginning, wow, what a nice kid. We had something in common. Let me make sure I watch them and see if there's anything there for us. Be first to show, last to leave. So first to show, and I literally mean be there before the coaches are. Coaches usually will get there about an hour beforehand. And what the heck? You're going for 3-4 hours anyways. What's another hour to you? If you're the first one there, you can do a couple of things. Number one, you can just start juggling. If coaches show up and a player is a good juggler of the ball and playing around with the ball and warming up on their own, that will stand out. When the coaches get there, ask them if there's anything they need. Hey, coach, can I help you grab the balls from the car or the cones? And people out there are going to go, well, you're just sucking up. Yes, I'm sucking up. I am trying to get the coach's attention. That's why I'm here. That's why I paid for the money for the camp. That's why I've traveled. That's why I've come. I'm here to get the coach's attention. And we want them saying, wow, what a good teammate this would be for us. We should be watching them at the event to see if they can play. When I say last to leave, and I literally don't mean the last one to leave the parking lot, but don't just rush to the car and leave after the event. Again, ask if there's cones being picked up. Hey, coach, can I help you pick these up and help them pick up cones and help them gather balls and help them put them in the net? It will give you the opportunity to say to the coach, do you think after seeing me play today that I would fit into your team environment? And would I be a player that you would recruit? I think that doing that is so important. And maybe we'll talk about that a little more at the end too. Be helpful. Like I say, be helpful. Look, if the coaches say, come over here, don't saunter over talking to your friends, be the first one there, jog into them. You don't have to sprint, but get in, get things done, help the coaches organize. If other players don't understand, if they're in the wrong line, don't just wait for the coach to have to stop and make a correction, you know, whisper to the other player. Just be generally helpful. Be helpful to other players. Be helpful to the coaches. Be helpful to the staff. Just be helpful. Don't be a distraction. Don't watch other players be a distraction. And it's not always intentional. I'm not talking about, you know, players that are being jerks. I'm just saying in general, be helpful. Being kind to other players will go a long way too. And I hope this is all genuine, but it's something that maybe that we haven't thought about. When I was a goalkeeper, the first thing that I would do is to introduce myself at least to my backs, make sure they knew my name, make sure I knew their name, make sure that they knew that I was going to be vocal, that I was going to try to help them be in the right position and be a better player. I'm not bossing you around to be bossy. If you feel like I'm bossing you around and telling you what to do, it's so that you look better. Okay. And as a goalkeeper, if my backs look better, I look better. Okay. That's the way I always looked at it. And if you can translate that to a center mid should know the names of their wingers and the backs and the players around them. And just in general, try to get to know the names of your teammates, have some short conversations with them beforehand about maybe organization and how that would look for your team and about communication. Hey, don't be afraid to talk to me. Okay. Don't be afraid to tell me something. Let's make sure that we all help each other look good. So be kind and helpful in that way. Be prepared. Look, there's nothing worse than players out there without their shin guards on, for example, okay, or their shoelaces untied. And the coaches say, okay, everybody come in. We're ready to get started. Hang on. I got to go get my shin pads. I got to go grab my water bottle. Get your shin pads on, get your water bottle, have everything ready. If you're a goalkeeper, have your gloves. I always took them and I just tucked them into the back of my shorts and then they would be ready to go. Be ready. Have everything that you can think of that you're going to need to be prepared so that you're not the one looking like you're not even ready to be there. And this also, when I talk about being prepared, has to do with the warm-ups and everything. You know the coaches are going to run a warm-up, but you shouldn't be sluggish and slow when warm-ups start. Get there and warm yourself up. Be ready to go already. Then when the coach goes through the warm-ups, you will look sharper. You'll look better. Be prepared. Competitive. I find that this sometimes happens on the women's side, but it can happen on the men's side too, where players are afraid of going in hard and being ultra competitive. Again, they maybe don't want to hurt their relationship with that they don't really have oftentimes with other players. They want other players to think well of them. Again, you're not there to impress other players. Don't worry about a hard tackle and about playing hard and about going out there and just giving it your all. Be super competitive. Some of the things that are often missing in a trial situation are hard tackles, tough 1v1 aerial battles, getting in and getting stuck into maybe set plays, throwing your body around a bit to help, you know, maybe block a shot, but treating it like it's the World Cup final. And by the way, I think we should approach all training sessions this way. I think that I don't believe that there is a magic switch that says competitive, not competitive. And you can have the not competitive switch off in trials or training sessions because, hey, what's the big deal? It's just a training session. It's just a warm up. It's just a trial. And then switch it on when the 11v11 starts and say, wow, now I'm competitive. I think our mind, and I think most psychologists will agree with this, but our minds are trained to behave a certain way in certain environments. And so if we treat every environment from training to warm-ups at an ID event to how we walk onto the field, everything about us feels like we're confident and we're competitive. So that's what I'm talking about. Be humble. Your play will brag for itself. You don't need to tell other players or coaches, oh, I'm on the best whatever league team in the country, or we won 3 national champs, or anything. Your play will speak for itself. The coach is not recruiting your team. Now, some people have advised, you know, wear your club shirt. If you come from a really good club team, wear your club shirt. It's fine. I don't think it really matters one way or the other. If you don't come from a big club team, don't feel self-conscious about it at all. Your play will end up speaking for itself. I mean, for Pete's sake, if you score 3 diving headers and 2 bicycle kicks, you're going to get noticed, right? If you make 3 crushing tackles and are winning every duel, 1v1 aerial battle and every battle on the ground, you're going to get noticed, okay? But you want to be humble about, you know, why you're there. There are players who come out with the attitude that I've got to be cocky. And there's a difference between being cocky and being confident. Be grateful for the opportunity and genuinely grateful. You can thank the coaches for the opportunity. And if it's genuine and sincere, It's nice to just look. I always explain to my son when we had these different opportunities that popped up. Back in the day, ODP was the thing, right? It's where the national team truly was selected from. And there were questions that he had. Is this really worth it? I haven't been selected for the state team multiple years in a row. I said, kid, if you like soccer, it's another day to play soccer. That's what it is. And I think if you treat trials and ID camps like, well, it's another day to play soccer, then that gratitude will show. And coaches will notice. It's another thing that can make you stand out. Be realistic in that, and this has more to do with the camp selection process. Look, the Stanford camps have about 3,000 players a year come through their summer camp system, or through their annual camp system, rather. They have winter ID camps too. And I think players should know if they are of Stanford caliber. In other words, look at the roster. If the roster is full of, oh, she played for the Norwegian national team and she plays for the US national team and he was playing for Dallas FC, right? Or LA Galaxy. He was on their reserve teams. And you find out that this is the makeup of those players and you don't have the same qualities that those players have, then this is more about saving your own time and energy. And going to every single camp hoping that something eventually sticks is probably not a great selection process. It's like me as a soccer coach back when I was applying for jobs, just applying for every single job in the country, knowing full well I wouldn't be qualified for or be even take the jobs, right? There was a job one time in a very remote section of the United States, and I applied for it, and I made it to the finals of the interviews. And before I went to that final interview process, I asked my wife, "Would you really want to move there?" And the answer was no, and I withdrew from the process. I probably should have asked her before, and we should have had a conversation before. So you can take that same example, and you can apply it to camps. And if you're only, if you're spending. Talked to a player one time, spent $12,000 going to the wrong camps. And how do we know they were the wrong camps? Because she wasn't remote, as a player, she didn't remotely look like any of the players that play for the schools at the camps that she was going to. And got very frustrated with the process. And obviously that's very expensive and not only in money, but in time. It's time consuming. And it stops you then from going to the correct camps for you. So being realistic and knowing which camps you're going to, knowing why you're going to them, and having done your research ahead of time. I mean, every camp that you go to, you should be watching those schools play. Okay. So you've got ESPN Plus, you've got YouTube, you've got Huddle that stores film of past games. And so almost every school in the country that has an organized soccer program, and I mean organized, ready to go. They're doing all of the things right. They are recording and streaming their games, and those games are stored somewhere. Let's say it's a junior college that doesn't have, or an NAIA school or a small school that doesn't have a budget and records their games, but they don't have the budget to stream the games and to store that film. You can ask the coaches, can you give me a sample of two or three of your games? I'd love to watch you guys play. I can't imagine coaches out there going, no, I don't want to give you my film so that you can watch us play and see that maybe if you want to come to our school, a school with smaller budgets means they're probably traveling less and means they're probably turning over every rock. They're probably more than happy to share that film with you. Outwork everyone, including the coaches, is another point that I made. And what I'm talking about that is the showing up early and the staying late and the offering to help and doing things that other players aren't willing to do. And helping the coaches. Look, work rate is not just about running around. It's really comes to a more of a work ethic. Okay. Showing everybody that you have a work ethic that goes above and beyond what's asked of you will again make you stand out at an event. Listening intently when coaches talk, and there's nothing more aggravating other than the cell phone thing that I was talking about. Is when we're on the field and Okay, the next setup is this. Here's what I want. There's the red flag and the blue flag. I need you over here and you over here, and then the rest of you I need over here. And then a player wanders around because they weren't paying attention, and they're like, "Oh, where do I go? And what do I do? What was it you said, coach?" It's like, scratch. I don't need that at my training sessions. If you can't pay attention in the most important tryout of maybe your career, then I don't want you part of my team. It's going to be my attitude. If it happens once, okay. If it happens twice, now I just don't think that you care. So listen and paying attention and truly learning. So if for example, one of most of us our pet peeves as coaches is body shape, how players open to the field and how they receive the ball across their body so that they have an open body shape. So if I coach you and something, it's like, hey, in that situation, you might want to receive with the inside of your foot with this body shape instead of the outside of your foot with that body shape. And then you repeat again because of your habits what I told you I don't want to see. And you repeatedly do that. Look, at an idea event, I might tell you once or twice. I'm not going to tell you three or four times. I'm just going to say you're not coachable at that moment. And I know you're nervous. I get it. And I know that habits build into our brain, but we also have the ability to override some of those habits and to learn. And some players learn faster than others. There are players I've shown something one time and holy crud, they just pick it up immediately. And then other players are very thick, a little bit hard-headed, and it's tough to get through to them and learn. So you can work on that skill in training with your team. And you can build that into your repertoire as a skill set of being able to observe, listen, and learn, and then apply. The quicker that you're able to do that, the better. Look, this also applies to observation of coaches coaching other players. If a coach says, stop, stand still, and he shows one player something, it's usually not because just that one player is doing it. It's usually because multiple players are doing that thing and he's using that moment with that player as a coachable teaching moment for the entire group. So if again, if a coach shows a player something, look, when you're playing that ball there, you want that ball to bend in to the runner instead of out towards the touchline. Then when you're playing that next ball and you can apply what the coach showed that other player, it shows that you're coachable and that you have the ability to observe, listen, and learn. All we're trying to do is get you to stand out at an event and be the best version of yourself that you can be. Now, I think I'd like to leave on this last tip. It's something that I just noticed in other players. I don't know why. I like the athletic tape around the wrist. Probably doesn't do anything. But you can use that athletic tape around the wrist to write yourself a couple of notes, to write yourself a couple of key words going into the event. Maybe if your issue is being vocal, you can write vocal, okay, on your wristband. And just on the inside where most people won't see it, it'll be against your body. Two or three notes, be fierce, be competitive, be vocal, be helpful. And you can look at that and go, oh, be helpful. Coach is picking up cones. Maybe I can just pick these up and hand them to him. Anything that you can do to remind yourself of the things that you wanted to do. So maybe that athletic tape around the wrist will help. And maybe coaches will notice you. I mean, if everybody's got athletic tape around their wrist, then maybe you won't stand out, but it also serves as that little note and that reminder I told you about. I would say bring two or three colors of electrical tape, maybe a red and a green and a blue. And then, pay attention as other players are putting their shin pads in place, and maybe you can put a color electrical tape around your shin pads to hold them up, hold them in place that makes you stand out. Anything that you can do to make yourself stand out a little bit is going to be good. It's really hard for coaches if you've got 50, 60, 100, sometimes there's 300 players at a camp to notice a player, to notice all the players. It's really hard. It's not going to happen. Even when, we're at an ID event like a surf cup college showcase or a general college showcase or something. It's hard when there's 22 players on the field for a coach to notice all 22 players. What we notice is the players that stand out, okay? Why they stand out to us, even if it's just for a moment, might be the color of their boots, and it might be that tape around their wrist, or the tape holding up their shin pads, or something, or it might be, oh, we hope it's your play, right? We hope it is that three diving header goals and a bicycle kick. It's that center back throwing their body around and putting themselves in harm's way to stop shots, right? So they don't even make it to the goalkeeper, or making great tackles, or chasing players down, or the fact that they can switch long balls with both feet out of the back, anything like that as play is great, but you want to be able to stand out. So I know that I went to a player showcase one time, and I noticed in the next field over from the game that I was watching, I glanced over and I noticed a player that was laying down the cones for warm-up and was organizing the balls. And then I noticed that player bring in the team for warm-ups. And it's like, oh, this player's been given the responsibility for warm-ups. And by the way, she's doing an outstanding job. And she stood out immediately. And whatever you can do at an event to make yourself stand out is going to be good for you. At least you're going to get, at some point during the event, coaches thinking to themselves, I need to watch this player. I like the way they carry themselves. I like the way they speak. I like the way they behave. I like the way they introduce themselves. I like how they've been helpful. I notice they don't keep, that they're never on their phone. They're standing out from other players because they're not on their phone. Whatever you can do to stand out, to get that coach's attention, that's going to be helpful to you for that ID camp and that ID event. So I hope you enjoyed this special edition of Inside College Soccer. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on LinkedIn, we're even on Threads, Sports Recruiting USA. On Twitter and on Instagram, you can find our new product that's free to coaches and free to players. That's the College Soccer Transfer Portal. You can go to collegesoccertransferportal.com. For more information, players that are transferring, coaches that are looking for transfer players can sign up and access our players for free. Our players can register on our collegesoccertransferportal.com site for free. And then you can also find almost all of our staff, including myself. I'm at Don_K_Williams on Twitter, on Instagram. And you can find Sports Recruiting USA on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Threads. Anything you need from us, just reach out and ask. We're happy to answer questions. We're happy to help. We're happy to do initial consultations for free. And we will tell you if we can help or if we can't help. So hopefully this episode helps somebody out there. Have a great day.